Have you ever talked to anybody that's been brainwashed?
Yes.
I have. You remember the Moonies? Some of y'all are not old enough to remember the Moonies. Moonies were followers of Young Sung Moon. You'd see them out on street corners selling flowers and stuff. And what they would do, Young Sung Moon said Adam was a Christ, he failed. And then Abraham was a Christ. Noah was a Christ, he failed. Abraham was a Christ, he failed. And John the Baptist, and he failed. And in the end, Jesus was a Christ, and he failed. And Young Sung Moon said, I am the Christ now, and I won't fail. But he wasn't. But he deceived millions of people. Millions of people. He was a Korean, and he deceived millions of people. And you couldn't talk to these people. I mean, they were in the cult of cults. When you talk to them, they just look like their eyes just glass over while you're talking to them. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't hear it. They've been completely deceived. I've met some Jehovah's Witnesses like that. They are 100% sure that they're right. And they'll die for it. They have been 100% deceived. Now, you can quote all the scripts you want to, and it's not going to affect them. You can give your testimony, it's not going to affect them. You go up to some old drunk or drug head, you know, and you give your testimony how God gloriously saved you and he changed you and what he did and what he did for us. And that old drunk say, that's what I need. I'm going to do that one day. That loose living woman, she'll say, that's what I need. I'm going to do that one day. See, they've not been deceived. They've just made choices. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this crowd that took the mark of the beast, and you say, well, why would God pour out such things on humankind as this when God so loved the world? Because God sees them, and God sees they have completely sold out mind, spirit, and body to Satan himself. You can turn that fan off now. To Satan himself. And so these people have been deceived. They've taken the mark of the beast. And we say, how in the world can anybody get that deceived? Mass deception. Not that one or two got that way, but billions got that way. How does that happen? Well, of course, you got the spirit of Antichrist. And he moves people and affects them. But recently, I mean, I never would have thought that I'd see millions of people, mostly supposed to be women, mothers and grandmothers, marching all over this country with a woman's organ on their head or whatever, and saying profane and vulgar against Christians. They've been deceived. I mean, by the masses, we have. Who would ever thought that just because you lost, your man didn't win the election, that you'd try to burn down Washington or Boston or something like that? Whoever would have thought that? And thousands of people turn out to destroy. They have no leader. They don't have a leader. There's no one person in either one of those groups can stand up and say, I lead this bunch. It's mass deception. How'd people get that way? Who would ever thought? Now, I grew up in America, and I'm 60 something years old, and but I grew up in America, and America I grew up in is not the same one that we're in now. I mean, I'm every day, all day long, I'm on the defense for what I believe. All day long. Every day for what I believe. Even Christians have been deceived. I mean, even Christians. Who would ever thought that church would turn around and be about people instead of about the Savior that we're supposed to be having church about? And people are deceived. People come here that are deceived. That's part of that mass deception. And they come in here and they look at me and you and they judge us and they call us fanatics and ignorant and redneck or all kind of stuff, you know, Bible thumpers and all that, because they've been deceived. We're not deceived. You know, well, you've seen that song, I Saw the Light. We've been like the Apostle Paul on the road to the road to Emmaus, and the Lord appeared to him, knocked him down, you know. He interrupted our lives. He stepped in. And amen. But we weren't deceived. Not in the way that these people are in here and those that's out there marching, tearing up stuff and profane and vulgar. I mean profane. Put carry around a picture of Jesus and put profanity on it in the name of sexual rights. Old Roy stirred up a hornet's nest this past week. One woman, one white, all his friends. He had one demonic. And and it's all about homosexual marriage and that stuff, you know. And she asked me, who are you to say what marriage is? I said, I didn't say what marriage is. God instituted marriage. You can't change that. God instituted marriage. You can't pass a law to make marriage. It's not a marriage just because law says so. It might be a union where two people get together financially, even physically. But it's not a marriage because God created marriage. Who can change that? And of course, she says, well, you know, you go back centuries and all these different, and Mormons and all that. And I wasn't going to argue about that because she was just showing her ignorance. But these people, the day that we live in, y'all listen to me. There are millions, think of this. A mom and daddy, and I saw a video, they take a 10-year-old girl and they strap bombs all around her. And they give her a little button in her hand. And they said, you go in that bunch of Jews over there and you push that button and you'll go to heaven. Now that's the day we live in. Who would ever thought that would even happen, that somebody would do that to their precious little child? If that's not satanic deception, I don't know what is. It's certainly not religion. It's certainly not just selfish stuff where she said, you know, we'll get $1 million. No, sir, been deceived. And there's multiplied billions of people who are deceived right now. We used to read this stuff and say, nobody will take that mark. But now I look at this crowd and I'll say, they got it already. They just don't know it. They hadn't had the official stamp yet. That's all. Every one of them is going to run around with the tattoo right there, right there, and it's going to be his mark. And I don't know what it is. The Bible says that his number, but I don't know if it's going to be a number or name, what it's going to be. But we used to look at lost people and say, nobody would be crazy enough to do that in the age we live in. Well, the age we live in now, they will. If they'd say, hey, look, they have no leader. The masses in our country and around this world... What about the Arab Spring when they all tried to rise up and go against their dictators over there in the Middle East and Syria and in Saudi Arabia and Iran, all those places? They got on Facebook and they all got out in the streets, and Syria's been at war ever since. The country is destroyed. 1/3 of the population is dead. You know why? Are you listening? They had no leader. If all those groups had come together, we've been giving them guns and bombs ever since. They still can't win. You know why? They have no leader. The Syrians wasn't winning either until the Russians showed up and they got a leader. And now they're winning because they have a leader. So you got all these masses of people out demonstrating for anything under the sun, usually wrong. And by the way, that Women's March was a pervert march. If y'all watched it, saw it on Facebook and stuff like that, men, women who think they ought to be men. Yeah. All other kind of... And men were marching with them who think they ought to be women. It was sickening. But you know why they don't win? They don't have a leader. But one day, not long from now, the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the air. And then right after that, the leader is going to step out on the scene. I think he's alive right now, brother. The crowds are. They're ready for him. I don't even know if he knows who he is, but he's going to be a devil-possessed human being. And he's going to step out, and CNN's going to be there, and MSNBC's going to be there, and all the networks are going to be there. And boy, there he is. That's the one who we've been looking for, and they'll follow him. So one day when they come out and say, listen, we need to identify who's with us and who's against us. If you're with us, you got to take this mark. They'll line up as far as I can see to take the mark and be identified with the Antichrist. They'll do it because they're waiting for a leader right now. That million woman march, whatever they call it, accomplished nothing because they had no leader and they had no spokesperson and they got perverts on there like Madonna and all that stuff. Nobody even knows what they were protesting. Black Lives Matter accomplishes nothing. We don't even know what they want except to hate white people. That's all we know. That's it. They have no leader. Are y'all still with me? The past elections that we just had, we just got in by the skin of our teeth. But you want to know why they voted for Donald Trump? Not because he is the most moral, not because he is the best speech maker. That would have been Cruz. Certainly not because he knows more about the Constitution than anything else. You know why he would vote in? Because he's a leader. He stands up and says, follow me, we'll get some things done, and we don't care who gets mad about it, let's just do it. That's a leader, and that's why people followed him. And of course, a lot of things he says we like. You know why the other side lost? Hillary stayed at home and sipped tea while he was out campaigning. She didn't have nothing to say. And when people asked her questions, she didn't have but two answers. Homophobia and Islamophobia. She blamed everything on that. She didn't make speeches. When she did, there wasn't no good. She's not a leader. And there's a mass of people out there, Brother Billy, right now waiting for somebody to step on the scene. The wrong one. And he will deceive them, and it'll be instant. It won't take long. And they will willingly get in line and take a mark and pledge allegiance to an Antichrist. And if you say, preacher, I can't believe that. Well, you don't get around much. That spirit of Antichrist is already here. They're attacking us every which way we go. And television, news, newspapers, radio, internet, in person. They're attacking us everywhere we go. Are y'all still with me? So the church ought to rise up. The church ought to rise up and cry aloud and spare not. But instead, they're being humbled. And don't make no waves. Don't say that. You'll offend people. Our mother church, if you look at it on the internet, they've taken the crosses down. They've taken anything that resembles Christianity down. It ain't there no more. And that's what killed Blessed Hope. They did the same thing. And that's what killed Trinity. They did the same thing. And that movement will kill any fundamental church. Now, that won't kill a liberal church because they don't believe nothing anyway. But it will kill a Bible-believing church. And churches and preachers, they're just getting quiet. Well, Preacher Ron, you're mean. And your kind of preaching's out of date. Well, it might be. It might be. But you won't sit in here and be deceived. You might sit in here and be offended. But you will not be deceived. And it used to be all Baptist churches were like that. But now, in order to appease people to keep the money coming in, and they know the truth. They know the truth. Most of their preachers went to Bible college. They know the Bible. So when I used to read this, I thought, how in the world could this happen? 2 Thessalonians, my time, 2 minutes. 2 Thessalonians, I got 4 verses I want to read to you. 3:13. 2 Timothy 3:13. Real quick, 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is that not the day we're in? All right. Listen. Our churches are not exempt. By the way, during the tribulation period, you know there's going to be churches. After the rapture, there's some churches will just go on as normal because the pastor is still going to be there, the choir is still going to be there, the deacon's still. They're not going. They'll just keep having church. I'll tell you something else I thought about this week too. That noisome and grievous sore. Think about this, Brother Rick. That angel flies through the earth and he's pouring out that vial. It's like an infection or a bacteria or something. I don't know what it is. But sores and running sores and pain. And he's pouring it all over the earth. And you know what I got to think about, Brother Tracy? The movie industry and the television industry is setting people up for this stuff. Zombies. Blood and guts. You turn on your TV, half the stuff on TV now is about some kind of zombie or disease that people can't get over. The movies, there's a new one coming out. I just saw it's advertised yesterday, I think. It's something to do with some kind of germ attack, and all these people got they're sick and they're dying, and it eats their brain up. And y'all see what I'm saying? So when he pours that out, they'll say, we've been attacked, chemical warfare or something, you know. The devil's setting them up. He's setting them up. It won't look like if y'all notice, there's no judgment from God anymore. Don't you dare say an earthquake was judgment from God. Don't you dare say some kind of plague was a judgment from God. Don't you say a war was some kind of judgment from God. They'll kill you, you say stuff like that. But we used to say that. God does pour out his judgment. He did it right here. There's earthquakes coming. Look, I got to quit. Look, real quick. There's some think that this can't be taken literally, but I want to know why not. It was done in Exodus. It was done in 1 Samuel. Something similar was done. God did it. He poured it out on them. Here, look. What we need to do is understand the age we're living in. The age we're living in, the devil and the world and compromisers are normalizing sin. They're normalizing sin. They're normalizing perversion. They're normalizing rebellion. They're normalizing hate toward God. They're normalizing hate toward believers. They're normalizing making fun and mocking the Word of God. They're normalizing making fun of the church. They're normalizing right from wrong and getting them twisted up. They're normalizing the worldly church. And they're normalizing that everybody ought to be able to accept another belief. But Christians ain't the only one going to heaven. The definition of deceived, I looked it up. This is the word of the hour, I think that's not. Cause someone to believe something that isn't true. Ain't that simple? Webster Dictionary. Deception is to cause someone to believe something that isn't true. Typically, to gain some personal advantage. I can go on the Democratic Party on that. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. In case you don't know what effeminate means, that's a man that wants to act like a woman. nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this one. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Now that don't take a theologian to figure that one out. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. In other words, nobody would even imagine it. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In order, other words, they're going to receive the penalty that is due. We never heard of AIDS until we heard of homosexuality. We never heard of that. Now, what you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Those first two verses in chapter 16 is a perfect picture of what's being set up right now. The great deception. You ever see a bumper sticker that's got all kind of emblems on it that says coexist? I've never had a fish for a symbol. And I know they say that was underground Christianity in Rome and all that. All that fish were there was to mark secret entrances into the catacombs so they wouldn't get killed. It was not a sign of what they believed in. I don't have a fish for a symbol. I have a cross. And I think if you use all that other stuff, you're just hiding what you really are. And look. Our children are being deceived. Our grandchildren are being deceived. And in some cases, great-grandchildren are being deceived. And somebody's got to be the bad guy.
Thank you, Lord.
We need to look at our loved ones sometimes and say, are you saved? I mean, are you going to heaven? Have you trusted Christ and Him alone? Have you been born again? Somebody in the family needs to pray when they eat. Somebody in the family needs to be there at Thanksgiving and say, well, let's give thanks. Amen. Somebody in the family needs to be there at Christmas and say, hey, I thought this was about Christ.
Amen.
And somebody needs to be down at the church and do something besides sing, wave their hands, and dance and worship the true and living God and lift Him up. But we're in that hour of deception. Now, folks, if you don't see it, you either got your head in the sand or you ain't turned on a TV or radio or read a paper in a long time. You say, well, preacher, that paints a pretty ugly picture. No, it don't. It means that we are that much closer to the trumpet sounding. I mean, 100 years ago, people would have read that and they said that must be typical of something else, because that couldn't happen, that all these masses of people would be deceived like that. But we can look at it and say, true, it's happening right now. So that means we're closer to the sound of the trumpet and the rapture than the writers of the book were. So you know what we need to do this week? We need to live like we're not deceived. And we need to talk like we're not deceived. And you say, preacher, that'll offend people. And it might wake somebody up. It might wake them up. Well, nobody want to work with me. Well, that's fine. Work by yourself. Well, nobody want to be my friend. Jesus will. Well, my family will forsake me. Many's had their family forsake them before yours. Amen. And besides that, he said, if you don't love me more than you love your mother, your father, and your family, then you ain't one of mine. We got to stand up for Jesus in a dark and getting darker world. By the way, we ain't through yet with these elections things. We're not through with the marches. We're not through with the destruction. We're not through with the hate. We're not through with the racial stuff. We're not through with the homosexual, sodomite stuff. We're not through with it yet. You watch what I tell you. Because these people are deceived and they won't take no for an answer. You say, you and I are Christians, we're taught to turn another cheek. Have a meek and a quiet spirit. But these people are just the opposite of what we are. They don't mind telling you what they believe, whether it offends you or not. He's coming. I hope he comes before we get back here to finish that chapter. The good news is Jesus is coming. Amen. And hey, the boils and the sores and the vials and the plagues, they're all coming. But the good news is I ain't going to be here. Amen. Amen. Get your songbook, turn to 162.